There are a lot of things that millennials as a generation are killing, from the diamond industry to Applebee's. But it's only now, as we're staring down the weed-filled road of aging, that some articles are starting to ask, what's going to end up killing us? A study by Blue Cross Blue Shield, who would probably like to keep us alive longer if only to have us pay our premiums for more years to come, does a type of depressing market research with their data. The first ominous news, quote, the major decline of health happens at 27, end quote. I just did the math on that for myself and recoiled at how that's closer to a decade away than the five-ish years that it feels. What was happening then? Oh yes, the decline of my metabolism. I had proudly told my husband to be back when I was 20. I could eat a pizza by myself and not have any weight gain. It's okay. Even I scoff at myself in that memory now. It's likely there was a portion of some of that free-willing optimism left that gave the study this result. Nearly 83% of those millennials studied considered themselves in good health. My somewhat cynical present-day take on that, however, is that it's likely they're in good health because they have no choice not to be in good health. Last year, I went into the hospital for 2 days after a visit to a freestanding emergency room. I had pushed off all the symptoms until a symptom popped up that my internet medical self-doctoring described as ER-worthy. Even then, I first called the free nurse line, who told me the same thing. Get to a hospital, you fool. And I still called my husband and mom to consult the situation, who both just told me to go. But what kept stopping me was knowing that if it was nothing, I'd still have to pay that hefty bill. So instead of focusing on my health, I bargained with the ER to let my husband drive me to the hospital. The doctor argued with me, asking why. Flat out told him that I had bottom-of-the-barrel insurance. Well, thankfully, I've been able to take part in the Affordable Care Act. My husband and I consider it insurance only against catastrophic events. Even that day, when it was evident that I should have probably worried more about myself than the money, I joined the ranks of those who are insured kinda sorta, but really aren't. The bill where I spent 2 nights with an infusion of miracle drugs that seemed to patch up what happened internally, but where I didn't actually have any procedures done, turned out to be more than the cost of my car loan. After explaining the situation and paying with a credit card, the hospital knocked the bill down to a seemingly arbitrary lower amount. And of course, I got a bill from the doctor who saw me in the ER for about 15 minutes, who turns out was not in contract with my insurance company, but that wasn't something I could control or vet when I came in. For him, I've decided to only pay a small negotiated sum every month as insurance that he needs to stay in cahoots with the universe to keep me alive if he wants to get fully paid. My story isn't an anomaly. It's increasingly the norm and a framework of fear for daily life that not just my generation faces. But as millennials untether themselves from the norm of that traditional career that had good benefits, and they seek to create a society with different options that might include flexibility or even that mythical work-life balance, perhaps we won't be as tethered to the idea that we're doing healthcare right. Oh, and last fun side note of that study, the number one health condition affecting millennials? Major depression. I'm Cassie McClure, and this is my so-called millennial life.